Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it.
Welcome back to Fold in the Cheese. It's your boy Camp on the mic today, and we have a big show ahead of us here. We're excited for this Thursday. Got my co-host, the Ted Mosby to my Barney Stinson, Ethan Gelfand. What's happening?
Hello, good sir. Have you met me?
Rivalry week. Not talking to you.
Rivalry week. That's right. I forget. My bad.
We're going to run this podcast without talking to each other as long as we can. All right. Well, this is kind of lame. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to cover last week's DFS beatdown, last week's sportsbook bets, very briefly cover those. Talk about the Pickskin Pick'em League. Got a little trivia from my boy E today on How I Met Your Mother. Iconic show.
Right, row.
We've got a listener calling in with a start sit question for us. We're excited about that. And then we're going to reveal those DFS lineups, sportsbook bets. Ethan and I got a little weekly bet as well for Rivalry Week.
Rivalry Week.
What do you think? You got anything good for me today, E? Or are you just going to jump right into it?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. You know, my son is still healing from his knee decapitation. Is that a word for knees? I'm not sure. His toothpick legs.
Toothpick legs.
No, nothing really too much to update now, man. Nothing much. What about you? Let's hear about the world of the trolls.
The world of the trolls, man. I had a coffee meeting this morning, which was interesting. You know, in my career, I've had to have a lot of those, trying to recruit folks in the accounting and finance world. Met a lot of folks for coffee. Today's meeting was with a guy who just wanted to chat about fantasy football. And I was like, you know what? I could get used to this.
That's not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig. Yeah, shout out to my boy, Brendan Fraser, on that one.
Wait, are you talking about like the Brendan Fraser? Like the
mummy
actor? The
Brendan Fraser.
Because honestly, I honestly would not be surprised if it really was, because where has he gone? Like, where is Brendan Fraser, the actor? Not your boy, the actor.
You know what? He's selling financial planning and financial services right now, but he's also an avid fantasy football player, and he lives in Nashville. So, great guy.
Good for Brendan Fraser. Good for Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Going from George to the Jungle to having coffee dates with you. I like it.
Yeah. I'd say this is probably like we're nearing the apex of his career, really, if that's the order of events.
Well, I would like to think it's more of a roller coaster. You know, he hits that mummy franchise, boom, coming up, then took a little dip, don't know where he went, and now, boom, coming back up with meeting with Kemper for coffee. I mean, you're right.
Back on
just
top.
Just riding that high.
Back on top. Cool, man. So we got some DFS. We were going to recap here. This is the part when I hate being the host of this darn thing, because
this is where your Costanza rage comes out. But hey, let's go back over what happened last week in DFS.
I know.
Let's do that.
I may not be Barney today. I may just have to jump right back into Costanza the whole time.
It's still boiling over.
Still boiling over. Got absolutely slaughtered this week. You had a monster week, 162 points. I came out about 120. Not my best outing again. I did have a couple of big plays on Monday night with Hockenson and Devontae Adams. That was good, but it got ugly. Ugly there.
You kind of did run into a buzzsaw across the board. I was pretty solid. I mean, obviously, I had Brady who crushed it. Cooper Kupp had himself a day. Him and Matty Stafford looking good. And Cortland Sutton, my goodness. So, yeah, I was just kind of firing on all cylinders, and there wasn't much you could do.
Yeah, that Cooper Kupp, just absolutely heartbreaking. That's a killer. And then, of course, you know, we go again, quarterbacks. Laying another dud for me. I threw Dak Prescott in there, my boyfriend. And what does he do? No touchdowns. I mean, whatever. Whatever.
Sorry, man.
I'm just going to, I'm going to put Brady in every week and just see what happens.
Hey, worth a shot. It's done well for me so far. And it works on my fantasy team too. So it's kind of just going two for there.
True enough. All right. So you're up 2-0 in the weekly contest of DFS. We're going to keep total score as well. 299 to 223. That is quite a hole to dig myself out of. But if you can put me in that hole in 2 weeks, I can get out of it in 2 weeks. I just need the things to fall my way this time.
Real quick side story about like falling in a hole. Take, well, if you did it 2 weeks, I can do it the next two. So throwback to Super Bowl 51, where my Patriots are playing the Falcons. So going into the third quarter, the Patriots are down 28-3, and I'm just so despondent. I'm so mad and angry. And I'm watching with my wife, and she says, well, if the Falcons put up that many points in the first half, then the Patriots can just do the exact same thing in the second half. I'm like, that's not how football works. It just doesn't work that way. And I was just so mad. And then, son of a bitch, the Patriots actually did do exactly just that. And they won. So I kind of had to eat my words from a comment by my wife, which actually happens a lot, let's be honest. But she pulled out the exact line of, well, if they did that in the first half, the Patriots can do that in the second. And damn it,
that crazy, crazy little optimistic leprechaun you married, just with the doctor order. I think she's perfect for you. Kirsten knows what's up, man.
She does. She Probably does. Did. She called Giselle Probably. And said, "Hey, get Tommy Boy to focus up here and let's go."
Yeah, I love that. I love that outlook. One of the things that we love about her. Keep doing you, KG. All right, let's take a look at Sportsbook. Not fun again. I got a little bit of a mini rant going on with the Rams on that stupid long snap from the Indy game. Cost me a freaking sportsbook bet. But they end up winning by 3. Spread's 3.5. Dang. That's why Vegas is Vegas, and we are not. Yeah. And
it's unbelievable. Like, that's just uncanny. It's 3, and the spread was 3. Like, yeah, that's, as you said, that's where they get your money, man. But that, if you watch that play live, the punt, how does that happen? If you're a guy, like if you're the guy who shifted over, how can you not tell you're like, I might be a little too close here to the long snapper? Like, it was not a bad snap. It was completely the guy who shifted over.
It was like an angled snap, but they do that a lot. You know, like they'll come, it's not just like a straight back. It wasn't like he was standing behind the center and he just got jacked. Like, he was at an angle, but they angle snap too. The worst part for me rewatching it, the guy just stood there. Like, the ball hit him in the arm pretty solidly enough to deflect the ball. And the up back didn't even turn around and be like, oh, shit, maybe that ball's loose on the ground somewhere. Like, I got to go help recover it. He's like, nah. He's like, nah, I didn't even feel it. It wasn't me. Definitely wasn't me. It didn't hit me. And you're like, bro, you just cost Tripsy some money. All right. You owe me. You owe me $10 right now. Send it to me. I'll give you my Venmo. Venmo. The parlay got blown up by the Titans coming back in that Seattle game. So that's one of those moments when you're torn, right? I'm like, oh, Titans fan. I'm watching the game. I'm like, oh, gosh, they're getting blown out at the half. Well, at least my bet's going to go well. And all of a sudden, they come storming back. And, you know, I'm like, well, I mean, part of me's stoked because that's the Titans team I expected to see this year. The other part of me's like, yeah, look really good, but like, just come up short if you could.
Show signs of life. But can I just win my bet? I need to make up for that $10 from the long snap. So can we just get that going?
Then I got Russell Wilson on my fantasy team. So then I'm like, well, like, I still want him to do well enough to, you know, like, it was a disaster. I'm rooting against myself. This is the beauty of fantasy. Yeah, it's the beauty of fantasy. It's what you do. You root against yourself half the time. True. But that happens. And then it turned out to not even matter because then Lamar Jackson just put on a show in the second half against the Chiefs and busted up the parlay even more. So I'm pretty sure if you lose 2 out of 3 bets in a parlay, you're definitely not making money. So
just a guess.
The Bengals game, I had the Bengals winning outright against the Bears.
So did I.
Who had Joe Burrow throwing 3 consecutive interceptions on 3 consecutive plays? Like, unreal.
I actually had that parlay, so I won on that. So that was good. I had that going for me.
You had a prop bet going on Burrow throwing 3 straight picks. That's probably that'd be 10,001. I mean, that's incredible. but they still almost came back, which was even more heartbreaking. Kind of like the Aaron Jones problem you had.
And the best part about them almost coming back is, who did he throw that touchdown to?
And also, let's see, at least the under on the Pittsburgh Las Vegas game hit. That one was correct, thankfully. I did jumped on the over in the Minnesota Arizona game. That almost hit at halftime. I mean, that was
unbelievable.
It's like a 50 point over, and it was like 48 points at halftime. So that was a good one as well. But that was not an official bet for as far as the podcast is concerned. So I'm going to go 1-3 this week, 4-4 on the season, 50%. not good enough. We're gonna get some back this week. Pigskin Pick'em. That was a little chalky, but we ended up both going with 11 wins. I think we deviated on two or three picks. One of us got one right, one got the other one right. I think you got the Niners, and I had the Panthers over the Saints. That was kind of canceled each other out. So,
yep.
We're both sitting at 11 after week two there. Still room for others to join the group, so jump on in there if you want to. You go to Pigskin Pick'em. It's a public group just called Folding the Cheese. Go check it out if you want to jump in there and compete with us.
There are also links in the description on all our episodes, so you can just click on that link and see if you're smarter than us, which more than likely is probably going to happen.
Yeah, it's actually pretty likely. Let's be honest. We got some picks this week. What do you say? You want to jump in and make the NFL picks this week on Pigskin Pick'em?
Let's do this. So we got the game tonight. Kind of, honestly, I looked at it, I'm like, this is a dud of a game. We got the Panthers versus the Texans. Panthers actually looking solid, so maybe not too much of a dud. And again, the Texans are being surprisingly competitive as well, but they're without Tyrod Taylor. I've liked what I've seen from the Panthers so far. Darnold's looking good with, you know, a solid team around him. So I'm going to go with the Panthers, even on the road, going with Carolina.
Yeah, I think the Tyrod Taylor injury is definitely the issue here, because Houston is scrappy, to your point. And I feel like, having watched them, you know, like any given week, they could come out and actually upset somebody. And I think, you know, Carolina's had a pretty soft schedule so far, so they have looked really good. I do like the Panthers in this one because of Tyrod's injury. And I like the Panthers, wait for it, by more than 8 points. That's going to come back later.
Ooh, hot take. Hot take. I like
it. Hot take. Hot take. Next matchup, we got the Bills and the Washington football team. Washington traveling to Buffalo. What are you liking this one?
I'm picking the Bills Mafia. You know, they're shaking off that week one rust. They look pretty good against the Dolphins. Josh Allen still hasn't found his mojo yet. You know, only throwing for about 50% of his passes last week against the Dolphins. But I just think they got too much talent and just an overall solid team. Washington, I mean, they looked up and down against the Giants. Again, Giants have a solid defense, and Heineke played out of his mind. But I just don't see them being able to put necessarily two and two together, and especially against a good Bills D. So I'm going to go with the Bills here, my friend.
You mean Nathan Favre played out of his mind.
Nathan Favre.
I'm also going with the Bills in this one. I agree with what you said about the Bills hadn't totally gelled yet. I actually feel the same way about Washington, honestly. I think their offense has looked better, but haven't gotten Antonio Gibson really going yet, which I really want to see.
True.
Not sure we're going to see that this week against the Bills. I get a strong defense. The defense has given up more points than I expected too. So I don't totally know what we're going to get out of these teams full season. I had a better, higher expectations for both of them than how they've looked so far. But yeah, I agree. I'm going with the Bills at home on this one. I think they'll take care of business.
All right. Next, we're heading over to Cleveland, where we have the Bears visiting the Browns. Man, I feel like the Browns should be a heavy favorite, but I'm still not fully convinced by them yet. They kind of been decimated by injuries on the offensive side, at least on the wide receiver front. Baker's doing all right. Nick Chubb, again, doing Nick Chubb workman-like things. With the Bears, you got your boy. Your boy is starting. Justin Fields will be the QB for them, and we can finally get a full game to see what he's going to do. But in Cleveland, I think Cleveland will put it all together, and I like the Browns in this one.
As my man Lee Corso would say, not so fast. Watch out for your boy Justin Fields coming in there. I do think the Browns are probably the better team in general, but I agree. They haven't been able to click either because of inconsistent receiver play. Baker, I think I just read he's got like an 85% completion percentage or something crazy, highest in the NFL through 2 weeks ever, which is insane. But he's thrown it to no names, and he's got like 200 yards a game or something crazy. I think Landry being out does hurt them. Hopefully Beckham's back. It looks like he'll be practicing this week. It looks like he'll be playing. But I don't know. I got to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going with Fields. Oh, I'm taking the Packers.
He is all in on Justin Fields. All in, my friends.
I don't know. This is a tough place to have your first start. I got to admit, I don't love him going against Cleveland in general, but it's a wild card enough for me to make the pick.
Hey, but if he wins this first start, it will be legendary.
Legend, wait for it. If you're lactose intolerant, you're not going to like this neck part. Dairy.
Dairy.
Get All it. Right, we got the Ravens heading up to Detroit as well. Who are you liking that one?
Well, first of all, I think the Detroit Lions deserve the highest of fives for the first half they put together against the Packers. If you were to tell me that at halftime the Lions would be winning 17-14, I would call you a liar. But they looked really good in that first half, man. I mean, they were putting it all together. My man Cephas was looking good. Jared Goff was scrambling. But obviously they completely disappeared in the second half. So yeah, sidelines. You look good for a first half, but you're not beating the Ravens even at home. So sorry, Lions. You're going with Lamar.
Just wait till Tyrell Williams comes back. Totally different team. They're going to start dominating. Totally. Well, I got to go with the Ravens as well. There's not a whole lot of analysis here. He's just, it's Lamar. And Marquise Brown has looked great through 2 weeks. So you got
Hollywood.
You got a second receiver to complement Mark Andrews. Your boy Sammy Watkins up there. Probably going to light some stuff up. Who knows?
For all my Harry Potter nerds, to me, Sammy Watkins is he who must not be named just because I hate that guy so much.
I get it. I'm going with the Ravens.
With that, I'm going with the Ravens.
Yeah. All right, we got the Colts heading to Tennessee. Nash Vegas taking on the Titans. What do you think?
You know, had Carson Wentz been playing, it would have been a little harder of a decision for me, but his ankles are toast, so I just can't see him really rallying behind Jacob Eason. And the Titans, as you said earlier, they looked good against the Seahawks coming back. Derrick Henry is now officially back as Derrick Henry. Tannehill's looking better. Julio Jones had a good game. Need to get my boy A.J. Brown rolling, but I think Tennessee is going to be riding what they did against Seattle and keep it going against the Colts at home.
So I think Wentz hasn't been officially ruled out, has he? But I know he's like, I think he doesn't have ankles in either leg.
Yeah, currently. They're officially just gone.
If he was playing, would that change your pick?
As I said, if he was playing, I would have to think a little bit harder because he looked good against the Rams. I mean, they were looking impressive, but I would think I would still give the edge to Tennessee, just what they were able to finish against Seattle, just how they finished.
Yeah. I'm taking Tennessee either way, and that's if he does or doesn't play. I think the Titans at home, chance for redemption after the home opener against Arizona was so poor. And I think, or I hope at least, they're clicking now. So let's get back on track. I agree. We got to get AJ going. That's going to be big for this game and for every game going forward. But I think he could get it done this week.
Especially for rivalry week. I need AJ. Come on, rivalry week.
Ooh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna shoot my boy Vrabel a quick note. Shoot Vrabes a quick note, and we'll see what happens. I've told you the story about the Titans jersey reveal a couple years ago down on Broadway.
I think you did, but you got to refresh that.
It was wild. So they decide in true Nashville fashion, they're gonna get new jerseys. They're to be honest, like slightly different than their old jerseys. They added like a gray shoulder patch, like a kind of
stripe.
Thing. Yeah, it's like a different font in the numbers, which is cool. But so in order to do that, of course, they have to throw a big party down on Broadway in lower Broadway in Nashville. So they pack the streets. They put up a giant stage. Florida Georgia Line comes out, does a free concert, and the place is rocking. All right, it's like a Thursday night, and this place is packed, almost as packed as it was for the draft.
Were you there or were you watching it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was there. You live in Nashville. Good. You got to go, man. Yeah, I was absolutely there. So my brother and I are there and we're watching Florida Georgia Line throw down free concert, all the hits. And all of a sudden out comes John Robinson, the GM for the Titans, and Mike Vrabel. And he's a new coach at the time. So this is like the year.
That's right.
He just got hired. They've both got beer in hand. And they are belting out Florida Georgia Line songs. Like the singers are giving them the mic to start singing and everything. Could not be a more Nashville moment. And I think that in that moment, Nashville fell in love with Mike Vrabel. That's our guy.
Mike Vrabel. I loved him with his time with the Patriots. He was always catching touchdown passes as a linebacker. I love that guy. He just seems like a true player's coach. I don't think I've heard anything bad about him coming out from like the Titan locker room or anything like that.
He'll go into practice, and he's on the sideline most of the time. He'll jump in the action too. He'll get in there without pads and start headbutting people and hitting linemen and stuff. He's still got it. He's still got that edge. That's the one coach you don't want to see. If there's a fight on the field, you don't want him coming out to quote unquote break it up because he's more likely to jack somebody.
I know I just got you started watching on YouTube. It's under Bleacher Report. It's called Gridiron Heights. So what they do is they do a parody of every NFL week. Episodes come out Tuesday or Wednesday. When the Titans were playing the Patriots in the playoffs, that wild card game, they did a spectacular episode, and Mike Vrabel was front and center. So be sure to check that out, Kemp. You got to look it up. So Gridiron Heights, look for the episode, the wild card matchups. because Vrabel
was that Tom Brady's last pass as a Patriot, if I recall correctly.
We have the Chargers visiting the Chiefs. Kemp, who you got in that game?
I think it's going to be a great game, actually, in part because the Chiefs, still to your point earlier in the week, haven't totally seemed in sync, and the Chargers are a good team, well-rounded. I got to take the Chiefs at home. Mahomes is still playing pretty darn well, and I've got some faith they're going to get back on track, but that's going to be a good one. I think they'll be a really good one this week.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Chiefs. The Chargers looked okay against the Cowboys. They were in a position to win, but obviously didn't pull it out. Herbert looked a little uneven, but I just think Kansas City is too loaded, and I too am putting my money where my mouth is. I'm going with my boy CEH. I think he'll have a bounce back day.
Oh gosh, I don't know, man. We'll see about that one. We will see. How about the Saints traveling up to Foxborough? Baston taking on the Pats. Baston,
my Pats. This is an intriguing game, because talk about Jekyll and Hyde. The Saints week one and week two, my gosh, you know, they're still loaded with talent. Going up against the Patriots, who you're not sure who they are yet. You know, they struggled against the Dolphins. Again, they should have won that game, but kind of blew it at the end with a Damian Harris fumble. And then they beat the Jets without too much work involved, but they didn't look great at the same time. They picked off Zach Wilson four times, but again, that offense still needs to click a little bit better. Damian Harris is looking good, so I like that. This is a tough one, but I am going to go with my Patriots at home, just with the slight edge, just because of the inconsistent play of the Saints, mainly just how lopsided they've been. And once again, Jameis will not be prepared.
Not be prepared. So I'm going to disagree with one thing you said. I don't think the Saints are loaded with talent. I think they have one talented piece, and he is loaded with talent. But as we've heard and seen many times before, Belichick typically knows how to take away your best option. Kamara is going to struggle against the Pats because they'll put the whole damn team on him if they have to. And I'm just laughing in my head thinking about Jameis after last week going up against Bill Belichick's defensive mind. I mean, you want to talk about like bringing in the vultures. Vultures are circling right now. This could get ugly. And I'm not sure I have any faith in the Saints to bounce back on this one. I'm going Patriots all the way.
But it's kind of funny at the same point. I feel like Jameis could be also just so unpredictable. Belichick's like, I don't even know how to game plan for this guy, because what the hell is he doing? How do I know what to do?
He could be cooking some ham and eggs out there. There's no telling.
Total X factor. The Saints have my man Chris Hogan, fresh off the lacrosse fields, former Patriot great. So he has the insider report. So it might be a little tougher for the Patriots than we expect.
That's true. He's a little bit slower with some extra padding. So I don't know. We'll see.
Coming up after that game, we have the Falcons visiting the Giants. Kemp, your former hometown team. What are you thinking about it?
Yeah, I still haven't seen much from the Falcons, unfortunately. The Giants have been a little inconsistent, but I saw some flashes in that Thursday night game. I think I'm going to go with the Giants on this one.
Yeah, this game is a toss-up for me. I got nothing to back it up. I'm picking up the Falcons, just saying they can't be this bad. I liked what they did in the second half against the Bucs. They were feistier than they should have been. You know, they hung around with the Bucs, and maybe Matty Ice can put it all together. So I'm going to pick the Falcons and upset special.
Okay. I'm a little surprised by that, but I'll take it. It looks like an easy W for me. We've got the Bengals. Bengals heading to Pittsburgh this week. What do you like here?
I like Pittsburgh. Even Roethlisberger, he always just seems to be injured. I'm sure he's nursing something. He is 80 years old. Of course, I can't talk. Brady's older, but still. Pittsburgh's at home. Najee Harris still has yet to break out. He's been doing solid, but I think he can really do a lot more. The Bengals were extremely disappointing last week. I really had high hopes for them going in against Chicago, and as you talked about, Burrow kind of struggled a little inconsistent in the middle of the game. So I'm going to go with the Steelers. Got some good pieces on offense. This defense is always solid, so going with Pitt.
This is another really tough one for me to pick. ESPN Nation here has got 85% pick on Pittsburgh. I disagree that it's going to be that easy to determine. I really wanted to go with the Bengals here, but yeah, I agree. Those three picks against the Bears. Come on, man. What are you doing? T. Higgins is a little banged up. Hoping he's going to play. Ben's got a pec issue, something with his chest. And it hurts to throw, quote unquote. So that could be a bit of a problem for a quarterback. And I don't want to see Mason Rudolph or whoever they've got in there. So I'm going to go with the Steelers, but I'm not shocked if this is an upset.
That's fair. That is very fair.
How about Arizona How about Arizona heading to Jacksonville for the Jags?
So how about after the game on Sunday, the Jaguars, or specifically Urban Meyer, posts like an Instagram or a Twitter post saying, have faith in us, have patience, we're building something good, don't just give us time. That's not what you want to see coming out of week two. Jaguars just have not. I know they were 1-15 last year, but they've been disappointing this year just because, I don't know, new coach, Trevor Lawrence coming in, retooled a little bit on offense, got some fun pieces in there. Defense, okay. But man, they have not shown any signs of life. So Cardinals have been looking good, especially on offense. My gosh, Kyler Murray, MVP candidate. I'm going Cards.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And not only have the Jags not looked good, and you've hoped they've looked better, the Cardinals have looked so good that I think you got to go to the Cardinals on this one. Agreed.
All right, now we're heading to the Mile High City. Jets are visiting the Broncos. What are we thinking?
I got to go Broncos on this one too. I think they've looked, they have looked sharp. And in the meantime, they've looked pretty sharp. I'm a fan of Zach Wilson. I do want to see him get going. But man, another tough defense for him. It's a tough start to his career. I don't think they can get anything going against the Broncos, and the Broncos have a strong offense. Teddy Bridgewater's been doing well, spreading the ball around, slinging it to your boy Courtland Sutton. So I got to go with the Broncos on this one.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, just like Sam Darnold was seeing ghosts against the Patriots. I think he'll have a better day against Denver, but not much. I mean, their defense is looking solid, even though Bradley Chubb's going to be out. He'll be out for a few weeks with ankle surgery. I mean, Broncos still going to be good, and Teddy. Keep going, Teddy, with Cortland. I like that, especially in rivalry week. Cortland Sutton, big game. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't love this matchup happening this week. I'll just say that. when does Wilson get to face the Jags or the Texans or somebody like that? Poor Falcons, like poor guys, just getting thrown to the wolves here.
No kidding.
We got Miami heading to Vegas for the Raiders. What's your take?
I just heard that Tua is officially ruled out, so it will be a Jacoby Brissett-led Dolphin team. So I'm going Raiders. We talked about it earlier. Derek Carr has been looking solid, really good. And they're at home. Again, the Dolphins, they haven't clicked yet. Again, they beat the Patriots, but didn't look great. Struggled against the Bills. Going Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders too. Too much firepower in that offense. Carr's a little banged up too, but looks like he's played through it already and should be able to play through it again. Henry Ruggs coming out and being a compliment to Darren Waller is big for me as the Raiders go. And that Raiders defense has been really strong. They're going to give Brissett some trouble. I got the Raiders in a pretty easy one here.
All right. Now here's an interesting game. In the afternoon, we got the Bucks going to the Rams. What do we feel? And this is a good matchup.
This is a great matchup. This could be an NFC championship preview, honestly. I think people are talking about it. Two high-octane offenses, two very strong defenses. I'm going to give the edge to the Bucks, who've gelled for longer than Stafford has with his crew. Antonio Brown's got COVID, apparently, or is a close contact. So he's currently on the COVID list. He's got to get two negative tests in 24 hours apart. There's a chance he could play Sunday, but as of today, it's not looking great. But you still got Godwin and Evans and Gronk and Cameron Brate.
They're still loaded.
I mean, just still loaded. You know, Scotty Miller, the running backs out of the backfield. They're still loaded, and it's still Brady. I'm not betting against the guy, honestly. And if I don't bet him against him in this game and they win, I'm not sure who's going to knock him off after beating Dallas and LA. But I'm no fool.
Yeah, you don't bet against Tom Brady, but this was a tough game to pick. I too am going with the Bucks, but it was a hesitant one because it's in LA. Rams have looked solid. Stafford is really gelled in there. Defense, of course, is stacked. But until anyone can show me otherwise, the Bucks are the team to beat. And I just, you know, maybe this is the kind of the awakening, the, oh my gosh, okay, we do need to work on some games, some things for the Bucks, but I got to go with them. Too loaded all around.
I'll tell you what's going to make the difference in this game. It's going to be a bad punt snap that goes off a guy's arm, and Buccaneers are going to fall out of the end zone, and then I'll feel justified in all my rage.
And then it'll be perfect for you, yes. and then next to end the afternoon games, we have the Vikings Seahawks in Minnesota. What are you thinking here?
Tough pick here. Another tough one. This could be a shootout. Minnesota's been in a couple of those so far, and so has Seattle. I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one at home. They've been so close so far. They've been knocking on that doorstep. Dalvin Cook has said, we get three games in a row at home, we could go on a tear. Probably means absolutely nothing, but I'm just going to call it confidence and say Dalvin's going to be ready to play. He's looked really good through 2 weeks.
Everything means everything.
It means everything. They've got to turn this thing around, and I don't think they've lost hope. I don't think they're dejected by their losses. I think they're ready to turn it around.
No, they definitely shouldn't be dejected. They should have won last week just on a freak missed field goal, so they should have beaten the Cards. Offense looked really good against the Cardinals. I've got Dalvin, so I'm really hoping that he goes on this three-game home streak tear. So let's do that. Rivalry week, sorry. It was a tough pick, but I, too, actually decided to go with the Vikings. Seahawks showing a little inconsistency. They played pretty well against the Colts week one and obviously had the letdown against the Titans last week. But Vikings are going to put it all together this week and get it done.
Look at us, bucking the trend there.
I was going to say, I thought you were going Seahawks, and I was going to surprise you with the Vikes, but dang.
On the same page. We got to, maybe it's like we did it, like we do a podcast together or something.
I know. We're in each other's minds.
We're in each other's minds. All right. So we got Green Bay traveling to San Francisco this week. This is a really interesting one, and this is the closest pick I'm on ESPN, at least. What are your thoughts on this one?
Right now, it's time for the 49ers to suit up. They had high expectations coming in this year, and, while they're 2-0, it hasn't been a resounding 2-0. It's not like, oh yeah, the Niners, look at them. It's more of, okay, they've won. It hasn't been pretty, but they've won. So this is the week they really need to suit up, show up, and prove that they're good. Jimmy G's playing solid. Obviously, your boy Debo has been lights out. They have some questions at the running back position, as Bob Sacamano has been picked up officially and is playing for them. But even with all that said, Packers, you know, similar to the Saints, or Jekyll and Hyde. They look terrible against New Orleans, but then in the second half, at least, look really good against Detroit. It's hard to pick against the MVP, but I'm going with San Francisco at home.
You know why I think we both landed on Minnesota? It's our buddy Marshall Erickson. Just like drilled into our heads. Go Vikes.
Yes,
it's I'm taking the Packers in this one. Ooh. I like everything you said about the Niners, and I agree with it. I would say a lot of the same things about the Packers, and I feel like that's why this is a 50-50 game. You know, mm-hmm. I think it does depend on which Packers team shows up. If Aaron Rodgers is back and it just took him three quarters or three halves to get the rust kicked off, then I don't see how the Niners are going to hang with him. But if he struggles, San Francisco's got a well-rounded team. Could go either way. Call it a gut call. I'm going with the Packers.
X Factor, you said Aaron Rodgers struggles when it's warm. San Fran, my friends.
If there's sun out, he might be in trouble. But he's a California guy, so I don't know about California specifically. Guy. He struggles in Florida. He's a Cali.
It's the humidity in Florida. That's it. He's fine in Cali.
But yeah, it's the ball has got moist. It's moisture on there.
Moist.
All right, we got the Eagles heading to Dallas for Monday night. Love this matchup. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a great matchup. Great fitting for rivalry week. You know what? I'm just going to go straight up. Going with your boyfriend, Dallas Cowboy, Dak Prescott, your boy CeeDee Lamb. Amari's going to have a bounce back week. I'm very interested to see the backfield of Zeke and Tony Pollard. I heard an interesting take on the radio this afternoon listening to ESPN that Pollard is probably the better play. But Zeke is making way too much money to not be played. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays in that backfield. But I'm going Cowboys over the Eagles.
Yeah, they say follow the money. And it does bear out probably 8 to 9 times out of 10. Not every time, though. But I agree. I mean, it's not like Zeke did anything totally wrong. It's just Pollard looked really good. Hard to deny the guy. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with my boyfriend as well. Although, you know, Jalen's my side piece. So it's a little hard to deviate from Jalen Hurts, but I think this is awkward.
I was just going to say, this is awkward. Your main man versus your side piece. Ay, ay, ay. This is for your love, yeah. Kemp.
That's right. I guess this will determine it all, really. I would rather it play out this way than any other way. Whoever wins this game gets to be my number one.
Your number one, that QB one.
My QB one, my boo. So I'm going to go with Dallas as well. Too many playmakers on offense. I do think Zeke and Pollard could both struggle, honestly, because Philly's got a good defensive front. If they try and spread it out and go wide, you could see Pollard look much better than Zeke because Zeke's a between the tackles kind of guy. This could be a game where people go away and say, why don't they play Pollard more? He looks way better. It's a little misleading because if you can get speed to the edge, that might be the right play here. Hopefully they'll instead decide to get Zeke out in space on some screen passes, swing passes, toss sweeps, things like that. But we'll see what happens. I got Dallas though in this one.
All right. Bright lights. Well, again, feel free to join us on these pick-ems. It's fun just to kind of see how it all breaks down, make fun of each other, and get our hot takes going. So definitely find us, Fold in the Cheese group on the Pigskin Pick'em.
All right, Mosby, it's time for a trivia break. And to be fair, I think our wives would call us both Mosbys. There's no way we're really pulling we're a Barney here. But
do you not have a playbook?
I can't confirm or deny that. I got some questions for you this week, so we're gonna flip the script a little bit. It's your turn on some How I Met Your Mother trivia here. You're in the hot seat. Let's see how you can do here. I'll start you off with a little bit of a softball here.
Okay.
What's the name of the bar that they go to every episode?
Oh my God, this is embarrassing. Oh shoot. I don't even have any hints in my head. This is totally, no, I got nothing, man. You got me. What is it?
Irish. Yeah. Irish. McLaren's Pub.
The McLaren's Pub. Wow. That is embarrassing. 0-1.
They probably don't mention it that much because they're just there all the time.
Well, now they do say, like, you know, see at McLaren's, da, da, da. But the best part is how Barney and Ted always just want to start a bar. Follow up trivia question to you, my friend. When they say they want to start a bar, what do they want to name it?
Puzzles.
Boom. Oh, puzzles.
Get you on that one.
Damn it. Oprah, too. Ah,
you try to flip the script, huh?
I did. I felt bad about missing the question. I wanted to get you, but damn it.
All right. Maybe this is a softball. I don't know. You know what? My whole world's been flipped upside down.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ted goes to the same Halloween party every year looking for a girl. In what costume?
I believe, first of all, he is a hanging Chad. And that's true. I believe she is, isn't it a slutty pumpkin?
Slutty pumpkin. Nailed
slutty
it.
Pumpkin, yes.
Well done.
He always goes hanging Chad, even though the reference is like 15 years old. And he's like, yeah, going with it.
He's got to make sure she recognizes him if she shows back
that's
up.
That's true. From 15 years ago. Oh, there he is, my hanging Chad.
There he is. There's the hanging Chad guy. I've been looking for him every year.
And I will always all right. be a slutty pumpkin.
Another, maybe, I think, easy one for you. These actually, I took it kind of easy, I thought, on you here. What instrument did Ted steal from a restaurant for Robin?
The color is blue. And it is blue. A French horn.
A French horn. A blue French horn. I was going to try and give you a hint if I needed to, but yeah. Blue French horn. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
All right, this is one of my favorite segments of the show, really. What was Robin's stage name as a childhood singer?
Well, her biggest hit was Let's Go to the Mall, and she was Robin Sparkles.
Robin Sparkles!
First of all, I feel like that song, you know, they created it just for the show, but I feel like it made like the Apple top 25 at one point when that episode came out.
Absolutely. That thing was trending like crazy. So that's actually a follow-up question here. I want to know two of her songs. She had two big hits in the show.
You're right. I knew it. As soon as I said her top hit was Let's Go to the Mall, I was like, shoot, what was the other one? Oh, yep. Man. She was so Canadian. It has to be something Canadian related. Dang it. It's not like the movie. It's not like something with the movies, is it?
Nope.
No. I don't have it. I don't got it.
Sandcastles in the Sand.
Oh, that's right. Was that like a dramatic song too?
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like Chris Isaac out there, like a black and white kind of fading in and out. Yeah.
Okay. Dang. Well played. Well played follow up. I appreciate that.
All right. Here's one for you. This kind of came on the heels of finding out that Robin Sparkles was a teen pop star. How many slaps is Marshall awarded for winning the slap bet?
Honestly, the slap bet is possibly one of the best parts of the show. The fact that Barney never knows when it's going to come. Great question on how many. It's either four or five, but I'm going to go with 5.
It is 5. It is five. Yeah. Well played. There was a lot of back and forth in this thing. So I think he got 5 initially. There was some premature slapulation. There were Barney was awarded a few slaps. And then it was Barney got to decide. It was between either 10 immediately or 5 for the rest of time. But that's where the suspense came from.
That is the best running gag. Wasn't the show like 8 or 9 seasons? And the fact that they stretched it out that long was the best. Pop quiz for you. Who was the slap bet commissioner?
Lily.
Yes. Slap bets. I feel like we should do one of those at some point.
I feel certain we've done it before. I feel certain that is something we have done in college or beyond. It sounded very familiar when I first heard it.
I feel like I still might have a slap coming to me. It'll be like we're 70 years old meeting up for some college reunion or just friend reunion, and then you'll just slap me in the face and I'll probably just have a heart attack and die. That's probably what's coming for me. Yeah.
I'm going to knock your spectacles off is what's going to happen.
I actually prefer to think I'm gonna, I'd like to think I'm going to have a monocle.
you might have a monocle. You got one eye better than the other one? You probably do. All right, I got one more question for you, and this is really random, but I always found it hilarious. What occupation did Lily's dad have?
Wasn't it? Oh, man. Lily's dad. He was the ball guy. He's the guy in Schitt's Creek. He was the mayor, right? Was that her dad?
Rolling Schitt is her dad.
Oh! Yep. Didn't he do board games? Didn't he make board games?
He made board games. Yes.
I honestly don't know where I pulled that out of. I was just like, okay. Oh, wow. That's right. And weren't they like super dangerous and super like inappropriate, something like that?
And elaborate. Yeah. I think the rules were like extremely elaborate. That was a great pull, man.
Oh, wow. I can't get McLaren's, but I get freaking Lily's dad's occupation. Come on.
Yeah. Sometimes the most obscure stuff that sticks. All right, E, I think that's pretty well done on trivia for How I Met Your Mother. It's been a few years since that thing's been on the air. Got to give you props. Pulled some good ones out of there.
Those were good ones, though. Nice little trip down
memory lane. Yeah.
Jeez, what the
Robbery hell? Week.
Robbery week. We can't get too fast with each other. Robbery week.
I hate you. Get out of my hot tub. All right, this is exciting. We've got a call-in from a listener. We got a sit-start question on the call-in. Feel free to send us a voice memo, email, kemper@foldingthecheese.com, Facebook group, Folding the Cheese. Shoot us a message anytime. You can text us. Probably know our number if you're listening to this. Shoot us a text. Shoot us a message. We'd love to help out here.
Don't forget the Twitter.
Hit us up on the Twitter at the FITC podcast. Hit that up as well.
Kemp, E, I got some lackluster tight ends on my squad. I'd initially drafted Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki, have since dropped them for Gerald Everett, Max Williams, and Jared Cook. Wondering which one of those three I should start this week. Let me know. If you're right, I'll surprise you with an adult beverage to be enjoyed on your next podcast. Thanks, guys.
What do you think, E?
Well, first of all, not great options all around. So unfortunate that he has to choose between one of these three. To tell you the truth, coming into the season, I was a big Gerald Everett fan. I liked what he did splitting time with Higbee in LA. So the fact that he was kind of getting a starring role in Seattle, I liked his outlook. He had a good week one, caught a TD. Week two kind of disappeared. So honestly, I like him just because he's a clear-cut starter. He got a good set of weapons around him that he could steal some catches, steal some time if Lockett and Metcalf are going to shut down or Chris Carson. So, I'll still ride with Gerald Everett.
Yeah, we're probably not going to be very helpful for this question because I have very little interest in Gerald Everett. I do agree with what you said. I was intrigued coming into the season thinking that he was going to be Russell's top tight end target. They've got DK and Lockett freeing up a lot of coverage for someone to come underneath like that. Yeah, he got a touchdown the first week, not much the second. I'd say that's the opposite of kind of what Max Williams did. You got 1 week on, 1 week off, and then Cook you've got is like a meh for both weeks. So again, you're right. No great options here. I'm probably leaning towards randomly Max Williams and hoping that there's momentum and hoping that week two is more what you should expect from that tight end position in Arizona. He's the guy. He looked great. 7 catches, 90 plus yards. I guess I'm leaning Max Williams, but I could actually be talked into Cook. Whereas,
so we are Everett, not being helpful at all.
Yeah, Everett, I'm not as interested in. I could be talked into Cook.
I would say with Williams on Arizona, they are playing the Jaguars. So again, that defense not looking great, and Kyler is looking solid. So I know I said Everett, but I could get on the Max Williams train. So if that's helpful at all.
Sounds like we should just compromise and say Max Williams. Boom, do it. Two X's in the name. I mean, come on.
That's true. Double X means money.
Money. Shout out to our boy Drader for that question. Appreciate you. All right. Let's move on. We've got DFS lineups to talk about this week. I'm going to let you start us off.
Let's go.
Champion.
All right. 2-0 coming into this week. Feeling good, but not confident. Kemba can always come back. Yeah, I have that much faith in him. So starting off at QB, I thought this guy was a steal. I went with Aaron Rodgers versus the San Francisco 49ers. He was coming in at $6,700, which I just thought was a good price for him. You know, I got Brady last week at, I think, around $6,900. So to see Rodgers at $6,700, I thought that was a steal. I think he'll ride high off of what he did versus Detroit and keep it rolling in San Francisco. So I'm going to go with Rodgers. From a running backs, I am going with Damian Harris of the Patriots going up against the Saints. He was a cool $5,600 for me. Had looked really good against the Jets. Carried like five guys into the end zone on that one run. So he's clearly the guy in New England, and he's making it count. Mentioned this earlier, talking about putting my money where my mouth is. For my second running back, I'm going with Clyde Edwards-Helaire of the Chiefs going against the Chargers. He was only $4,800. I know he has not shown up yet this year, but he's a starter, great team. And again, for a price point of $4,800, I couldn't pass that up. Honestly, though, if I'm being truly honest with everybody out there, he was kind of my last pick because I was like, okay, I've only got $4,800 left to work with. Who do I got? Okay, Clyde, here we go. I was happy to see him that cheap. So hopefully he can do something.
Yeah, I think to your point, when you can get a starter for $4,800 on a team like that, I mean, in previous years, he's been $7,000, $7,500 if he's playing well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I thought it was worth a gamble. For wide receiver, I'm looking at Tyler Lockett going against the Minnesota Vikings. He costs $7,400. He's put two straight games together, Kemp. Could this be turning the corner of consistency?
I hope so.
Or is this going to be his dud week?
Yeah, it could be a dud.
Second wide receiver, I got Julio Jones, your boy, against the Colts for $6,500. I was interesting in looking at the matchups. Him and A.J. Brown were $6,500 and $6,600 comparatively, so that was interesting to see. But I went with Julio just because he's been playing better, and it looks like Tannehill's kind of making more of a connection with him right now, at least early on. And then for my third wide receiver, this is actually who I'm starting in my fantasy team against Kemper as well. Going with my boy Marvin Jones Jr. of the Jaguars against the Cardinals.
Yahoo thinks this guy is going to blow up.
He has gotten two touchdowns in 2 weeks. Again, this was also kind of more of a budget pick. He was $4,900, just kind of fit the pieces together. But I'm not unhappy with it. I'm not super psyched about it. But you know what? All he does is catch touchdowns. For my tight end, going with Austin Hooper going against the Bears. He was $3,600. And then my flex is kind of where I flexed out and suited up, spent all my money. DeAndre Hopkins against the Jaguars, he's $8,200. So rounding it out for my defense, I've got the Texans versus Carolina for a measly $2,300.
Yikes. That Hopkins into flex is dangerous.
Yeah.
I was like, wait for it. Yeah, wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, there it is. There it is.
There it is. There's where he spent his money.
Dang. And you've been playing Hop. I mean, I know you got him on your team, but you played him that first week against me too. It hurt me pretty bad. That's a good pickup. Okay. I like that lineup. Pretty solid. I don't know about your boy Clyde, but we'll find out. Marvin Jones, just to stick it to me. Appreciate that. Here's who I'm rolling with this week. This is on the road to redemption. Here we go. I'm going with yo boy, Matt Stafford, taking on the Buccaneers, $6,400. Matt has looked great. He's got weapons.
He has.
This is either going to be a shootout or they're going to be garbage time coming from behind. I think he can carve it up a little bit. They're going to be jacked for this game. I will say that because they know as well as anybody this could be an NFC Championship preview, and they're probably not getting a lot of credit in this game either. So I'm going Stafford. Mm-hmm. I got Chris Carson. I got Chris Carson, 6,400 going against Minnesota. He's looked good in the first couple weeks. Pretty good bargain considering he's getting all the work out of the backfield. I'll take that.
I was this close to getting Chris Carson, but my money didn't work out. But I was this close.
I think it's pretty cheap. Kind of like Montgomery was last week. And it's pretty cheap for a guy who's putting up pretty decent numbers. I saved a little bit of cash here going with the guy we talked about during the waiver wire column, Cordarrelle Patterson. $4,600 going against the Giants. I think it's a pretty good matchup. He's versatile. He's got running back carries, 7 to 10 carries a game now. He's getting looks out of the backfield. At $4,600, you just got to catch a few passes. Yeah,
catch a few passes. I'm a fan.
You make your money. Yeah. I also went with Tyler Lockett this week, so I'm actually buying in too. I am hopeful he does blow it up because I do like the player a lot. Of course, this will probably be the week he does throw a dud because I took him on DFS. So,
but at least we both got him, so it doesn't hurt or help either one of us.
That's right. At least we're both going down. I am doubling up Stafford, stacking him with Cooper Kupp because I'm not getting 40 points dropped on me this week. Not from Cooper Kupp, at least. I've seen enough. Those two have a strong connection, and that's his number one guy. And if it's going to happen, if anything's going to happen in LA this week, it's got to be between those two. And I'm still riding the CD train. He's still $6,500. I think it's cheap. I mean, I know it's not a great matchup against Philly, but he's CD. He's my man, top five receiver, and I don't think you can guard him. So especially if Amari gets healthy and can play, take some of the coverage off of him, I like CD at $6,500. I also went Austin Hooper at tight end. I think it's a great play, especially with Landry being out. They got to throw to somebody. Beckham will be back, but somebody's got to go over the middle like Landry does, and it's probably going to be a tight end. And I like Hooper. He got a lot of looks after Landry went down this past week. So $3,600, I think that's a steal. And my flex...
I feel like Hooper was a big pickup in the offseason. I feel like he was one of the more coveted tight end targets. I know that's not saying a lot, but he's got talent. And taking him from your Falcons, I thought he was a good pickup.
Yeah, 2 years ago in Atlanta, he was a top five tight end. He was awesome. And then he went to Cleveland, just disappeared. He's got the talent, so he's got the opportunity. Let's see what happens. I'm flexing out my man TJ Hockenson this week because he has been an absolute load both weeks. He's $5,200. He's putting up 20 plus points both weeks. Again, we said this earlier. You're trying to get a multiple of 3x on how much you pay for these players. So he only needs 15 points to pay off, and he's getting over 20 a week. So give me Hockenson against the Ravens. Another instance where they got to throw to somebody. They're going to probably be down against Baltimore. He's been so consistent. He's been unguardable. I like Hock this week. And then defense, normally saving a lot of money. This was, I thought, cheaper than it should have been. Give me Arizona versus Jacksonville. I'll take the Cardinals defense, $3,000. They're going to give Trevor some fits. We'll see how the game turns out, but I think I'll get some points out of the defense this week.
That's a good squad, Kemp. You kind of went, I don't want to say like solid all the way across, but you didn't really overspend. You didn't have any huge money bets on anybody. I liked how you kind of went consistent throughout. That was good.
Yeah, a lot of like 6,000-ish players, which I liked. I liked the values there a lot. All right, let's move on to the sportsbook bets this week. I got to redeem myself from last week, and I've got four picks for you again. Trying to get back on track here. I talked about it a little bit earlier. Las Vegas is laying 3.5 against Miami. I like Vegas to cover that, especially with Brissett coming in at quarterback. Miami's traveling across country to Vegas. I'd make sure Derek Carr is going to play in this game. It looks like he will. Make sure if you want to place this bet, make sure he's a full go before you do it, or that he's near certain before you do it. The line might change a little bit if he is looking like he's full health, but I'd go ahead and lock that in 3.5 if he looks like he's going to play. I think that's a pretty safe bet. I'm taking Tampa Bay -1.5 against the Rams. It's basically a pick 'em. I mean, there's a chance they win by 1 point, but not super likely. And I don't think there's going to be a tie either. So I'm putting my money on the Bucks, and they look unstoppable. We'll see what happens. Give me 1.5 minus Tampa Bay -1.5. I mentioned this one earlier, Carolina -8 against Houston. That's a big spread. I don't love spreads that high, but I think Davis Mills, he threw a touchdown last week, but when a team is prepared for him and he's not running like Tyrod Taylor, I think Carolina's going to tee off against this dude, and he's a rookie and welcome to the league. I think the Panthers D has looked really good already. I think this could be a pretty big route.
I was going to say, and Matt Rhule, he's I feel like he is a great at developing his team, especially from the defense up. I mean, he took a Baylor team who was, what, 0-12? And then he brought them to shoot, almost winning the Big 12 that his last year there. So he's a solid coach. I don't hear anything bad coming out about him in Carolina. So, yeah, I agree. Carolina Panthers are looking pretty good.
Looking pretty good. Parlay for the week, I'm going with Arizona. These, again, favorites. Arizona, Vegas, and Denver. Denver's got the Jets. You parlay all three of those together as straight winners, and it's a plus 125 play. So you get plus odds, again, if you parlay three favorites. Denver's not as much of a favorite as you might expect. It's like a minus 200 or so. The other two are a little bit higher. But, yeah, I like those three to take care of business this week, and that's a plus 125 bet.
Nice, Cam. I see you rebounding. I have the utmost faith in you. 4-4 is still not that bad. I know it's probably, what, even money at that point, but...
You lose a bit because you got to pay out the book as well. But
true.
I mean, it's not. Listen, last week was not great, but overall, being 4-4, I'm fine with. You know, over time, you start to get a better sense of how you're doing.
Yeah, it's week two, man. You're not sending out an Instagram post saying just be patient. We got time. We're putting right. something special together here.
Yeah, no Urban Meyer down here. I'm also not trying to GoFundMe either. So I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
You're doing good.
All right, E, we got one more to cover here. Last week's do it bet, individuals.
Do it.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah. I had Devontae Smith. You had Jamar Chase, rookie wide receivers, and everything was looking good. It was a total dud of a week for both of them, but I had one more catch.
Let's pump the brakes for a second. It wasn't really looking good. Devontae Smith had two catches, and prior to what you're about to say, Jamar Chase had one. So it's not like it was looking good. It was looking sad, but good for you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was looking good. Yeah, it was looking great. And if it's good for me, it's good for everybody, right? That's like the whole point. No, it was looking good. You know, two catches, 16 yards. Devontae was tearing it up, right? Jamar Chase had one for 12. And I was like, one catch for 12 yards. Weak.
Game.
And then after Burrow threw his 15th interception, he decided to throw a 42-yard bomb to Jamar Chase for a touchdown. Bingo, bango. Ethan wins the do-it bet with that one play.
Pretty do weak. It. Jamar Chase, do it with for the win.
That's pretty weak. But I'll tell you what, more redemption for me here. Since this week is Rivalry Week, we got another
Rivalry Week.
Got another do-it bet.
Do it.
These guys are on our teams. These are actual players on our actual fake teams. TJ Hockenson, my tight end, against George Kittle, your tight end. What say you?
I think George Kittle's going to have more points than TJ Hockenson this week.
I say Hockenson has more points this week than George Kittle.
Do it. Kittle, do it. Both tight ends from Tight End University, Iowa, do it.
Iowa Hawkeyes. All right, man. Rivalry week.
Rivalry.
Let's do this. All right, we're going to give you some updates next week. And after I whoop that ass against my boy E, that's it for today. As always, keep folding that cheese.
Keep folding the cheese. And wait for it. This week's going to be legendary.